हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
This is Krishna Sandarbha. Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 2 Bhagavan Superintendence of the Purusha Avatars. Okay, page 12. This is the order of the activities of Mahavishnu related to this topic. When he developed the desire to lie down again in a particular place, he lay down in the Karana ocean. He then glanced at his energy Prakriti as soon as it came out with his breathing. By that glance, making his intention known, accomplishing merely by the power of desire, he produced the Mahatattva and other elements spontaneously. And after creating the universe out of elements, Garbhodakshay, master of the universe, was informed, O master, enter it and go to sleep. Entering into the universe, Garbhodakshay went to sleep for a second. After he again entered the universe, he then rejected the universe as a useless sleeping place, since it is material. Then again, Garbhodakshay is made to sleep in a new universe for the lifetime of Brahma. So it says only a moment, because it's only 3/4 of a second for him. It is said in the third canto, Kalo yam dvi paradhakyo nimesha upacharyate avya kritas yan nantasya hyanader jagadatmanaha. The duration of the two parts of Brahma's life, as above mentioned, is calculated to be equal to 1 nimisha, less than a second, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchanging and unlimited, and is the cause of all causes of the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.11.38. These forms are all spiritual. This form is pure sattva, devoid of rajas and tamas, vishuddham sattvam, and excellent urjitam, completely spiritual, made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Sardarta Darshani 1, 3, 2, and 3. So nimishas also calculates the blinking of an eye. So that's what it says. When it says a moment, I mean literally a nimisha. Nimisha is considered a moment. It's 1/11 of a second. Right. So it's, yeah. It is said in Moksha Dharma, the fourth form, creator of indestructible sesha, is called Sankarsana. He manifested Prajumna. From Prajumna appears Aniruddha, myself. This happens repeatedly. From Aniruddha, Brahma appears on a lotus. From Brahma arise all the moving and non-moving living entities. Mahabharata 12, 326, 68 through 70. Vyasa also says, he whom the knowers of Shankhya and Yoga call Paramatma is the great Purusha because of his actions. The wise know that Pradana or Avyakta comes from him. From Avyakta appears the visible matter for creating the worlds. Aniruddha is called the great soul in the worlds. He, making his appearance, created Brahma. Mahabharata 12, 327, 24 through 26. So here also we see Pradhan or Avyakta they're basically taken the same. One means the elements are homogeneous, they're indistinguishable, or avyakta means they're distinguishable, but in either case they're not active. Having spoken in the verse of Sankarsana's powers, Aniruddha is glorified. He is called the great soul, Mahan Atman, Paramatman, each of the many universes, Lokeshu. He makes his appearance, Vyaktatvam, from Prajumna. Prajumna is not distinguished from Aniruddha, since he is non-different from his son, Prajumna 3. Prajumna is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Brahma arises from the lotus in his navel. Aniruddha is Kiradakshay. Because of their non-difference, Aniruddha is described as the source of Brahma.
This is quite confusing when you read it in the beginning, then everything went back one position, but now
it makes sense. Yeah, you also have the aspect of the moods or mentalities that are there, because it's the same person. Since Aniruddha is talking, then he's the one that's doing. Because he is Prajumna, he is Sankarsana. They're all the same, but there's a different mood of what they take. They're the same person, the Sarupa is the same. Just there's a different feature of what aspects they're dealing with. So in that way, because you also have, there's the desire and all that. So you're controlling the universe, but because Brahma has that desire to do that, in that way you can say Brahma's coming from Aniruddha. Because then super soul of the individual living entities deals with the desire of that. It may have come through Prajumna. Right? Because he's the fault. So in that way you can say it's non-different. But at the same time, it's physically, then he appeared from the lotus of navel of Prajumna. Yeah. But at the same time, why Brahma's in that position, that's because of Aniruddha. So because all the living entities, want to control and enjoy the material nature, then therefore Mahavishnu is creating everything, but it's because of that point. And so that's why it says that living entities sustain the universe, because otherwise, for Krishna, it's not necessary. But, we want it, so therefore it's there. It's just like criminals sustain the prisons. The government doesn't, if there were no criminals, you wouldn't have to have, a penal system. But because there are, therefore it's there. It's controlled by the government, but it's not that the government requires it to run itself. It's required because the living entities that are within it don't want to follow the laws of the... For it is said, Vishnos tu... Trini Rupani. There are three forms of Vishnu. That action is explained in the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.39. This first form, the Purusha avatar, acts for creation. In the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42, it is said, the Purusha of the great Lord, Parasya Bhumna, stimulates Prakriti. The Purusha, or pastime form of the Lord, who has 1,000 heads, Sahasra Shirsha in Rig Veda 10.91, is the Adya avatar, first Purusha avatar. One should also see the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.6.20.12. This form is not the universal form. This indicates that Bhagavan or Vasudeva is different from the Purusha forms. That's the purpose of it being mentioned. Just showing that Krishna is different. He's the source. The two forms, Bhagavan and Paramatma, are generally described as having the same sarup. Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam Vishuddham Sattva Urjitam. This form of Bhagavan is pure. It is pure sattva and strength. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.3. The Purusha is a form of Bhagavan because both manifest pure sattva. Because both have non-difference in terms of Shakti and Sarup. Nata param parama yad bhavata sarupam. I do not see that this is different from your Sarup. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.3. Vishuddham means devoid of any insentient portion, since that form is a function of the Sarup Shakti. Urjitam means strong in all ways, since he has a form of the highest bliss. Shruti says, Ko hyevan yat ka pranyat yad esha akasha anando nasyat. If the infinite Lord did not exist, who would inhale or exhale? The Lord alone is the cause of bliss for the jiva. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. If the Purusha is full of form is full of bliss, what to speak of Bhagavan? Having described two types of place and actions of the Purusha, the forms are described to be similar in appearance, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.4, though there are differences. The two forms of Purusha are regarded as one. It should be concluded that Vasudev, representing Bhagavan, is different from the Purusha. Thus it is said, when the primeval Narayana accepted the form of the Purusha, he created the universe from the five elements, produced from himself, and then entered within the universe by his own portion. The Purusha avatar is described in the first verse. Then, after creating the universe, Puram Virajam, by the five elements produced from himself, he entered it for pastimes, not to enjoy it. The jiva endowed with great punya enjoys it. So, interesting here, and the primeval Narayan accepted the form of the Purusha. Right? So, said here, Vasudev, representing Bhagavan, because we see as Vasudev, he's described as having all six, manifesting all six opulences, or you could say interacting, performing his actions with all six opulences. While the Purusha avatars, you know, Shankar, Shambhujumna, Yamuda, they perform their activities interacting with two of the opulences. Each two, you know, total six. So then Vasudev then is also, he represents, so that's where the difference will be. Like that, because they're dealing with less. They have all four, but they're only interacting with two. So when he performs pastimes only with these two, he's called Sankarshana, the next two Prajum, the next two is Aniruddha. And if he's performing with all of them, then he's called Vasudev. Yeah, so in the Pancharatra, then it will make that distinguishing that way. Because we were showing the action part before, so many years we were describing that, you know, that they have these two, and then, you know, in this way that all deals with two aspects of Sambandha and Prayojana. And then Vasudev, then, as, you know, as the principle of Abhideya, then performs, pastimes with all six of those. And but at the same time, it's because of that overlap, it becomes sometimes hard to understand. Because then you have the explanation of Abhideya and Prayojana within Sambandha, you know, which is there. But then the difficulty comes, and then when the application, then it becomes a confusion. So then, in the more prominent way in the Pancharatra, then it'll describe Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha being the lords of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Then, but that's the understanding of it. When it's applied, then that's Vasudev. So, you know, so that's what I see, is that in one sense you have an expansion of, means when the Lord, he's enjoying it, but it's Bhagavan is enjoying it, rather than Aniruddha, just with those two features, is enjoying it. So that's the difficulty, is you have these, that's why there's a distinguishing being made, but at the same time there's not, because it's the same person. So you can say it's the same, just like we see Aniruddha can describe that he does this, even though it's his father. Yes?
So this Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha being Samanda, Vidya, Prayojana, from Vesti perspective, from the soul's perspective, these qualities are manifest. Like Shankarshan represents the Jnana, and Pradyumna represents the Virya, and Aniruddha represents the Tejas. So Shankarshan gives that knowledge required, and Pradyumna, the process is manifest because of the Virya. By Tejas, then one attains that fruit. But from the Samasthi perspective, then Shankarshan is Bala, which is he provides the universal seed, and then Pradyumna represents the Aishwarya, that he manifests the masculine and feminine aspects. That's where the inspiration aspect is, and also. And then Aniruddha manifests the Shakti, through which the body and soul of each individual jiva is nourished.
Okay, that's nice. So they're devised as Vyasti and Samasti. Okay. Because you also have Samasti is the more masculine, I mean, even of that, because everything's masculine and feminine, the Samasti would be the more masculine, and the Vyasti would be more the feminine. But if you use that, then that also comes out that then that means in the Samasti, if we're looking at it, what we were talking before, institutional, that it will be control things, but it'll be controlling things in such a way that the Vyasti, the individual, is nourished and engaged. It's not that it controls it for its own benefit. It's also another way, sometimes you see it, I think Jiva Goswami before in one of them, then he describes that the aspect of Bala, Aishwarya, and Tejas, right?
Yes.
That there is strength of, the physical, strength of the intellectual, and strength of the mental. It also has that aspect, and then it may manifest through those qualities.
Also, from the Samasthi perspective, because Aniruddha manifests the body, he nourishes the body and soul, in that sense the manifestation of Aniruddha is before manifestation of Pradyumna, which is inspiring the masculine and feminine aspect. That's why that switch happens between Pradyumna and Aniruddha sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's also is that you means from Sambandha you see the goal, then you can act.
Yes, yes.
But it means they're all always present, but just you'll be thinking, feeling, then you go back to willing, right? Or thinking, feeling, willing, then you act. You know, so once you've got to Aniruddha or the goal, then you go back to applying it. That also becomes the thing, because we want it to go just like that. It means when you're applying the action, it's already going. So the three phases of the action itself means you're using the knowledge that you have with the qualities you have for that goal that you want. And then those three phases will naturally manifest. Yeah? No?
Yeah, this requires... I'm going to write down these things, because otherwise I immediately forget.
Well, it's not even until the end of class and then forget.
No.
Okay. It used to be when you walk out the door, you forget. Now it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're the same kind of same basic principles, but they're being applied in a different aspect.
Yeah.
Because we haven't discussed as much, a little bit, on this Samasthi and Vyasthi, because it's the two perspectives. That's why sometimes you see the same points being made, but it seems like opposite things.
Yeah.
Because one is from the Samasthi, the universal, how the Lord is viewing. And the other is the Vyasthi, how the living entity is viewing.
Yeah.
Or in context of the living entity. Right? Because the Lord being the Purusha, then deals with his energies. At the same time as the energies are controlling the energies. So that means there's going to be an aspect of it that will be the basis of what's being controlled. Does that make sense? So if there's Bala, that's the masculine aspect, or the Samasti, then Jnana will be the Vyasti. So the living entities can gain knowledge. You know, that's their interest, is that. You know, or the they call it, what was the Aishwarya. And then from that, then you can gain the Virya. Because you have Aishwarya, then you have that strength. Like if you get opulences, then people feel inspired. If they don't have them, they feel not so inspired. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so like that. And then there's all subtle things. You know, it's just like Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan has all these subtleties, because everything's coming from Krishna's Swarup, means literally. Everything. So that means everything goes back to those three principles. So it's always going to be Sat, the Chit, and Ananda. And then from that, since everything's coming from there, that means there's unlimited fine points on how you can develop it. So the Acharyas bring out ones that are, you know, that useful for us to use and understand, you know, to establish, you know, the proper sambandha, avideya, and prayojana so that we can function. But there's unlimited details, and that's what, you know, Sankarsana deals with. So he sits there with his thousand mouths, and he can discuss these eternally. That's why it's said, you can never fully know Krishna, but you don't have to fully know Krishna to have a relationship. You know, just like, let's say, you meet somebody at the festival, and you have a nice talk and hang out and this and that, but it's not necessary that you even know where they're from or anything. You know, I mean, it can be part of a conversation, but if the personalities work, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, you know. So, the same way is that that not knowing everything about Krishna is not necessary for having affection for Krishna. Anything is nice. You know, you see somebody does something, and there's an attraction. They did something that you consider, you know, good or of value or important. And then once, you know, but you don't know the rest of what they do. You know, it's just like you see the man at work and he has a good work ethic, so then you have a nice relationship. But you don't know how he is at home with family or friends, or, you know, when he's on his own, what he does. You know, somebody says, you know, just lay around on the couch in his underwear, or, you know, not clean up. You know, you don't know what goes on, but you see him here. And so that's where you have your relationship. And someone else can have a relationship in a different. That's why you have the different realms, the different rasas. It says a certain aspect of Krishna that they find attractive, and that's the rati. That's the basis of the whole of prema, is that particular rati they have. So therefore, the acharyas are just giving, you know, those fundamental principles on which we can then appreciate and understand and approach the Lord. But more detailed than that, they don't need to get into. So,
but I mean, I have to admit, this is very detailed. Yes, these are musty, the qualities and how you view it.
Well, no, all it is pointing out is Vyasti and Samasti, why it's a nice point of knowledge, because we see sometimes that it's talking about things in different things. So if you talk about it from Brahma, you know, just like you said, is that the Brahma has a desire or something he wants to think, some will that he wants to do, that has to be accomplished. Right? So because of that, therefore then Prajumna is manifesting it from the navel. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because he's action. He's the avideya. You know, where you take the knowledge and the skills with the proper attitude and apply it, that's Prajumna. You know, so you can't separate. That's why when Vasudeva is taking the position of avideya, then Prajumna is the attitude or quality part of sambandha. But if you're taking it as Vasudeva, as the lord of the all six opulences, like that, then Prajumna is in the avideya, because sambandha, avideya, and prayojana, that knowledge, that understanding, is what's applied in serving Vasudeva. Those three serve Vasudeva. And so then you see is that the application of knowledge and the goal is with the right attitude. If you don't have the right attitude, you can't work with the knowledge. You don't have that right attitude, you can't get the goal. And so that becomes that central feature. So Prajumna becomes that central aspect. But it's Vasudeva who uses it. So he's using those qualities. Those qualities are serving Vasudeva. So Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. I mean, Shankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, they serve Vasudeva. Even though in the past times they may take different positions. Like Sankarshan is Vasudeva's older brother. Prajumna is Vasudeva's son. You know, and Aniruddha is Vasudeva's grandson or Prajumna's son. That's why it mentions here, it says son is not father and son are not different. Because then in the past times, that's how long. But then, you know, so like that, you know, while you see, yeah, that's generally how it'll go. Because that'll be the original, that'll be Dwarka. And then you see in Ram Lila, it gives a slightly different flavor. So there's slightly different adjustments. So I think Bharat and Shatrughna are the younger brothers.
Yeah.
But Lakshman is also younger.
Yeah.
So it's like Ram will be one first, Lakshman will be two, and then Bharat and Shatrughna will be three and four.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of stay in that position that they're below Sankarshan, but at the same time isn't here. Then we see how those pastimes went down, and then Sankarshan made the determination, I'll never come as a younger brother again, right? You know, gotta keep things controlled a bit more. Like you see is that when the pastime is going, Balaram's trying to control it to see that it goes properly. You know, like Krishna goes to kidnap Rukmini, but he goes on his own. It's just him and his chariot. And it appears that he doesn't even have a driver, it's just him.
Yeah, and she drives on the way back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So then Balaram, seeing, okay, this could be trouble, then takes an army and he goes and he arrives then. So Krishna arrives and then he arrives. So, you know, they're all there. So then when Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, then they first have to deal with, you know, it means that there's the element of Balaram and the army. So then they start fighting there, and then some go after, I think it's Shishupal goes directly, not Shishupal, no, he doesn't go, it's Rukmi, he goes directly after Krishna. So then Krishna's dealing with him, but I'm not sure I can't remember if he fights with anybody else in the beginning. He might.
Yeah, a few others.
I think he starts, and then Balaram comes in with the army to block. So then like that, you know, so he takes care of these things. Or when Subhadra is kidnapped, then you know, he says, you know, get the, you know, call everybody, council, and then war council, and then, you know, everybody's steam whistling out of their navel, and, you know, the whole thing. And then when he sees that Krishna's undisturbed, then he, you know, he pulls the assembly back. Oh, hey, why are you all making such a scene? Krishna's like that. And so then, so you see, he does that aspect of regulating. You know, so you can see it's Sambandha. He takes the situational things he arranges. Like that. So that Vyasti and Samasti will come down to, there's a universal perspective and the individual perspective, and that's why you can get completely different things. So you can, means the universal perspective will definitely be it's coming down from the Lord, so it'll be deductive. But the Vyasti, if you're on the material platform, will look at it as inductive. So only when you bring your consciousness in line with the Lord's, then you start to see it in a deductive way. Then you can see your position in the context of the Lord. Then you're going to see all these things on how you say, means that the knowledge, the opulences and the enjoyment of the energies, you'll see that all in context of Krishna. You know, it's knowledge about Krishna and our relationship with him. The opulences are all there in service to Krishna, and the enjoyment from that is for Krishna. So when we're seeing it in a deductive way, because it comes from Krishna. But if we don't, we see that these are for ourselves. So that's why you see some of them explained, they'll be talking about it in one way or talking about it in another, and it seems like they're opposing views, but they're, much of the time, it's just talking about the swasti.
Vyasti.
Vyasti and
Samasti.
Samasti, yeah. I took
so Vyasti and Samasti become swasti.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just saying, I put the two together.
Combine the two.
Yes, then it becomes auspicious. Yes. Yeah. So like that is that, because there's always this point of difference and non-difference. There's the uniqueness of it, but they're the same. So the difficulty comes up is when we don't see the thing of the difference and the sameness. Because generally from the material platform, we're going to see the what should be seen as different as same. And what should be seen as same, we see different. Because the Ajnana Shakti will reverse things. Mode of ignorance reverses things. Because in the material world, you're working within avidya shakti, so everyone's working under ignorance of their relationship with the Lord. Within that, then there's three divisions: those in goodness, those in passion, those in ignorance. So, foolishly, it'll be thought that the intellectual is, you know, in the mode of goodness, and so therefore beyond can understand, but he's within the mode of goodness, within ignorance. Right, so that's why sometimes it's talking about until the living entity removes this ignorance, he can't get out of the material world. It's not talking about just the mode of ignorance there. It's talking about the Ajnana Shakti. And that can only be removed by Krishna's grace. No other process than bhakti can remove it. This is where the illusion comes in, is that we take it that my position in Vyasti is the absolute position in the Samasti. We take it that how I think that is, you know, their Atmavan Mani De Jagat. You know, what I think, that is the universal. So everyone's talking, oh, this is the universal. No, that's your opinion. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, the Western culture, that's what everybody can relate to. No, only Westerners relate to that. Everybody else likes a few things from it. You know, maybe they like the genes, but that's not the whole culture. The rest of it, they don't like. You know, some like some of the fast food is convenient, but, you know, you wouldn't make a meal out of it. You know, but, you know, the Westerners will, you know. I mean, Westerners in this case means Americans. Europeans won't. It's a snack, something to do with friends, you know. You're busy, you can't get it, so you just get something. But you wouldn't think that that's a bona fide meal, you know. So that's the thing, is that it'll be thought, this is universal, when it's not, you know. And so then you see, everyone thinks they're the universal. So in Europe, that, you know, the English are thinking that, the Spanish are thinking that, the French are thinking that, the Germans are thinking that. One time even the Poles were thinking, you know, they had their day. You know, the Swedish, they take over, you know, whatever it is. The Russians come in, they take over, and the Hungarians and all that, they take over. So everyone's thinking that this is, you know, the way it should be, you know. So that's the problem, is they're not seeing the difference between these two. So it's a very advantageous aspect to be able to appreciate that. But we can see is that as a prominence, it's only basically come up more recently. It's been mentioned always before, but we don't necessarily catch it. But now you see it's being brought out much more, because now the fineness of it, you can start to see. And so, you know, we have another... I say another this and two. Yeah, we have three sandarbhas to adjust with this. So there's so many things now that are standard appreciation for us that before it was a problem. Yeah. So like that, it's just by association and hearing regularly, then by associating with each other, then he picks it up and it becomes ways of, you know, different aspect of each other. Yes?
Also in Bhagavatam, the Vyasti and Samasti is a little bit detailedly explained in the 12th canto, towards the end.
Yes.
Once you understand the whole thing, then you can bring creation and dissolution at one place, and then... Yeah. When he explains the dissolution, that's when this aspect of Vyasti and Samasti is explained.
Okay.
It's advanced.
So that means it's just... Basically, I think it was more in last year that we started seeing it as a prominence.
Yeah.
You know,
even terminology itself came, like, recently.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's very... Because Prabhupada may not always say it. He'll say the universal or the individual, but that's what he's talking about. So now you know when Prabhupada's talking about something and he talks about the universal and that the living entity, then like this, that's Samasti and Vyasa.
Yeah.
So it basically means Krishna's point view and our view. So when our view is in line with his view, in other words, we see it from descending, then it's in line. But when our view opposes his, that's not important. And we can easily make that mistake. You know, we think that, you know, I'm doing this, therefore this is what has to be done. And it's nice, we're engaging the body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, but it should be with the idea that Krishna will be happy with it. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, vritti. Having explained the action and location of the Paramatma forms, next Anucheda further elaborates on their sarup. Or we put the.
Yes.
Okay. Anucheda 3. The Tatastha and sarup lakshanas are described. Yasya vyavaya samsthanai kalpito loka vistara. Tadvai bhagavato rupam vishuddham sattvam urjitam. Okay. The expanse of planets is imagined to be situated at various places on his limbs. This form of the Lord is pure sattva, unmixed with rajas and tamas, and is composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 133, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, I was thinking before, is in this one before, where it mentions he's making so many points of explaining the commentary on the, you know, the top paragraph and second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that some of those, if there's anything of that would help us understand, to put those in.
Okay.
You know, just underneath those can be, you know, Udritis and that there. Yes? You know, between the two, then that may bring it out, so it becomes clear. The Tathasta Srupa Lakshana, okay, Udriti. The conception of the Virat Rupa or Vishvarupa of the Supreme Absolute Truth is especially meant for the neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the Personality of Godhead. To him, a form means something of this material world. And therefore, an opposite conception of the Absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends his potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord himself personally are one in one sense. But at the same time, the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. This eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva, and it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is par excellent, spiritual, or transcendental to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by his internal potency. And the formation of his multifarious manifestations of incarnations is always of the same transcendental quality, without any touch of the Mahatattva. Srimad Bhagavatam 133 purport. So is that they're always there. It's just a matter of they're different because he's manifesting in a way that a particular activity or a quality or a form is being manifest, but they're non-different. Because if there's not a difference, then where's the visesha, the uniqueness? But at the same time, as if there is a difference, where is the basis? Right? Like the Lord and his energies, they're non-different. But unless you see how, you know, what's dependent on what, then you won't, you can't understand it. Right? So he himself expands just as his energies expand. But it's so as he expands, then the energies expand, but then he expanded is dealing with certain energies here. Another expansion is dealing with other energies. Another expansion, other energies. You know, basic are the same. But Krishna, he is Swayam, and he deals with Surup Shakti. So he's the complete energetic. She's the complete energy. And then, like that. Yeah, so this Virat Rup then engages the impersonalist. The problem comes up is that if for the impersonalists, it's all right if they're Brahmavadis, because then they can come to the point of appreciating the absolute truth. So then from that Brahmavad position, they can come to Shantarasa. Right? So again, it's about the Lord being everything, and that it's seeing everything in that context. But it's going to now take on the position of affection for the Lord. It'll have that rati, so it'll take on as rasa. But if we have like the impersonalist, where then there is no origin of that, of this Vishwarup, then that turns into the Mayavad. And so that won't be progressive for them. It may help them lose their interest in the material world, but it won't develop their interest in the spiritual world, because they're not interested in the spiritual world. They're only interested in this generic, negative qualities of the Brahman. They're not interested in the positive qualities. Right? They're just looking at, and the generic aspect of qualities, their point is no qualities. That's so they're only seeing those aspects of it. You don't have manifest qualities, but it doesn't mean the qualities are not there. You know, it's just like if I glorify somebody's strength, it's about the strength that is there, and that strength can be applied. But in my speaking of it, there's no manifestation of strength. Right? So that's Brahman. It's just the glorification of the Lord. And so the basis, everything is based on that Brahman, because it's all based on the glory of the Lord. Does that make sense? So they're seeing, that's why the Prabhupada says here, then to him a form means something of this material world, right? The materialist. And therefore an opposite conception of the absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. So in the beginning, since they see everything as in that opposite, that negative, then they see that works for them. But at some point they have to turn it around. Right? So that's why you see the Kumaras went from Brahmavadis to Shanta Bhaktas. So does that make sense? You know, Sukadeva Goswami, same. But the Mayavadis, why they're dangerous, is there's no interest to do that. Even though Shankaracharya told them, what is it, Narayan Oparavyakta, yeah, that he's there before, which is the point. Then you can see is all this, then there's something, then that the absolute has something beyond. But that one aspect they don't catch, because it's not emphasized. You know, it's just like for us. There's one thing that's brought up. Prabhupada may mention it only one time in the purport. So we may catch it and make it, you know, important or not. Right? But those things that are regularly mentioned, then those are going to be more prominent and those are going to be used. But for him, since his business was bringing the Buddhists into the Vedic fold, then he's kept the philosophy basically the same, just given Vedic evidence to support it. You know, seemingly support the position. But he's also told how they can go beyond that. But that's actually the duty of the Vaishnavacharyas. So that they can quote from
Shankar.
Yeah, no, it's just very interesting. Let's see if I can get it. Maybe lean back a little bit. Yeah, not so far. A little forward. Yeah, that's the perfect. Shadow, how it's coming from the two lights and all that. It must be your head or it's his shoulders or something.
If I show this to Russians, Maharaj,
yeah. That's I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I need it for preaching.
Where did I put the case? I was put in a place so I won't lose it.
One time, Bhakti Gyana Maharaj, you know, because he's very expert in that field, he commented that if you wanna become very fast popular,
mm-hmm.
you have to mystify the process of bhakti.
Yes, yes.
And in this way, it's a cheap way to become.
It means
it's a kind of cheating.
If you did that, then you would have 256 million people following you. Like that. That's why those using those techniques of Ayurveda and psychology, which I think are two main branches that are used, become so popular. But you have to take someone through to the pure devotional platform. If you do that, then it will have been a nice bridge, you know. But if you didn't, then you kind of leave them hanging.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, these bridges are temporary and, you know, subject to failure, as we know what happens to bridges. Yeah. The form of the material universe, loka vistara, is imagined to be the various parts of his body, like the feet. The parts of the body are explained to be the planets, e.g. feet being patala loka, in order to steady the minds of new worshippers. The planets are not actually his limbs. This is the Purusha form of Bhagavan, since it displays the Lord's purity and strength, vishuddhorjita sattva, not literally, and because of non-difference of Shakti, Bahir Anga, and the Lord's Sarup. The word Vai indicates that this is well known. It was already explained that this form is also his Sarup, Srimad Bhagavatam 393, Nata Param Parama Yad Bhavata Sarupam. Vishuddha means that he is free of dull matter because his form is the function of his Sarup Shakti, right? So they take it that he's there, and then they'll say he's material. Rather than saying, no, it's the Shaktis, therefore the Shaktis of the planets, like here, Patal is his feet. It means, in other words, from his feet come those Shaktis that this planet is functioning on. You know, from his arms come this Shakti, come that comes this, because everything comes from his Sarup. So in this way they can understand. So he's not that he's literally the planets. He as a person is different, but through his Shaktis. But that's the difficulty, is that the Brahma bodies, they don't have any problem with Shaktis. They don't have any problem with the transcendental form and all that. Just they're not interested in the aspect of interacting with that transcendental form. You know, for them, everything's Brahman, so his form, everything else is, and they just see it all on that equal thing, that it's all spiritual. But then, as by association, then they get the understanding that all of this Brahman comes from this Sarup. So whatever taste you're getting in the whole aspect of Brahman, then is actually coming from this individual, this person. Then their rati goes, instead of being just, you know, like Brahma body, then it becomes focused on the Lord. But it's still an appreciation how from this comes everything. So therefore then the Shanta rati then is always appreciating the wonderfulness of the Lord and how everything's coming from. But it's just, that's the dynamic element. It's appreciating all these static elements. You know, just means, in other words, basically the sambandha aspect. They just see, you know, he's all that, and that's very nice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Vishuddha means that he is free of dulled matter because his form is a function of his Sarup Shakti. Urjitam means that it's the strongest of all since his form is the highest bliss. Right, so the Sarup Shakti, his form is coming from, is expanded by Sarup Shakti. So the material world is not expanded by a swoop shakti. It's from the expansion of the swoop shakti, then you see the manifestation. So it can't be the same. But because coming from his swoop shakti, that's being reflected into the external, the bahiranga shakti, therefore then there'll be some connection, some similarity. Something?
Yeah.
Shruti says, ko hyevan yat ka pranayat yad esha akasha anando nasyat. If the blissful Lord did not exist, who would inhale or exhale? Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. Right, because you have the matter, but if he doesn't bring life to that matter, why would it happen? You know, so that means the dead matter, it has to be coming from his, from the external potency, it has to be coming from the internal potency. Right? Because the external potency is just matter that doesn't do anything. So that it does something, gives experiences, gives, you know, these transformations, that's coming from the internal. The internal potency then is dependent on him. So that means the external is dependent on internal, which is dependent on him. Like before when we were discussing the points of causation, right? So the original cause is Krishna. The formal cause is this internal potency, right? Then expanding from that, then you have the jivas as the seeming on the material platform. The active cause, the efficient cause, and then the material energy being the material cause. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, even though it's... So, the material energy, or the material cause of the upadana, that's only transforming according to the nature that is there in the internal potency. But it's a reflection. It's shadow. It doesn't give the same effect. So since the jiva is part of the internal potency, then that shadow effect won't give the satisfaction. Like if you see everything in shadow, you won't be satisfied. But so that's why the living entity, no matter what they do with the material energy, no matter how they make it, they're still not satisfied. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Next, the transcendental nature of the Lord's form is elaborated. So that's what he's pointing out here. If we're being logical, everything functions here because there's something that makes it function. So then, because what happens is that they make a rule is that, no, you can't bring God into it because we haven't established God. But at the same time, that's their rule. That's their approach. Who's established that everything here works in a particular logic? This spiritual also work in that logic. Who says it's the opposite? You say it's the opposite, therefore until we establish we can't use it. That's what you said. That's your, you know, the subjective view. Your aspect of vyasti. You're trying to discuss samasti from your point of view. What we're saying is that everything here moves because someone deals with it. So therefore the universe moves because there's someone who deals with it. That's logic. For to say it's not, then where does it come from? It has to be where. How is it logical that if this is their spiritual, it has to be opposite? Who said spiritual is opposite? Where do we have an example of that? Right? We have reflections where they may be reversed, you know, either this way or upside down or something like that. But we don't have something where it's opposite.
Well, we have an example of that.
That's there, but it's not here now.
We have an example of that in the material world because we're dealing with the opposites, but in the spiritual world...
Okay, okay.
As we described previously, we're dealing with variety. Mm-hmm. So variegatedness, that's the natural quality of the spiritual world.
Mm.
But what's interesting, the many religious people, and including my bodies...
Right.
Somehow or other, they say that the Lord is omniscient, but they don't give him independence.
Yeah.
He's omniscient, but he can do this, and all
religious... He can only be aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All religious people do this mistake, but it again comes to the problem that we don't understand that the Lord exists on its own. He's the cause of all causes, even in causation. Mm-hmm. Like you described, he's the cause of upadana and nimitta.
Uh-huh.
But then for upadana, he takes certain form. For nimitta, he takes another form.
Mm-hmm.
And like that. Mm-hmm. But then he has his own realm where he does, and he's completely independent.
Mm-hmm.
So this independence of the Lord, it's very important. Because when you discuss with people, if you ask them in the beginning, is the Lord independent entity? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see how they themselves contradict initial point.
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, but he can do that, and he can do this, and he can have energies, he can't have any form, he can't deal in this way, just because as a Vyasti position, I can't afford, I just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes a serious problem in discussing, you know, any spiritual matters with religious people.
Yeah, so that means the last independence he had was kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden. And after that...
And then he lost it.
Yeah, and then he lost control.
And why he kicked them out? Because they wanted to become independent of him.
Okay.
So this is the primordial sin.
Yeah.
He kicked... I mean, he lost his independence for their independence.
Mm, okay. Okay. It's like, what's it? Yeah, that one Calcutta Pujari, when he touched his disciple's head, then, you know, that he had all the spiritual, and now he is the guru, had nothing, you know, like that.
Empty.
Yeah. Okay, next, the transcendental nature of the Lord's form is elaborated. Anucita form.
I just wanted to say it would be really easy. I mean, it isn't, but it would be if we take out, like, at all the universal form, because universal form throws the whole thing, you know, upside down. Because again, when we speak with the devotees, eternal form,
mm-hmm.
and then if everything is eternal, then it's, you know, then it's easier to digest,
mm-hmm.
and if it like my body is saying no form, yeah, it's okay, you know, no form.
Yeah.
Then we have a universal form, which is a form of the Lord, but it's not eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So this.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of manifestation. It's just it's the matter of the aspect of the Shaktis of the Lord and how he does everything. Because ultimately, if everything is Krishna, which also the Maya bodies will agree that everything is Brahman, then the point comes down is that means, well, how is everything? There's like that door there. How is that Krishna? You know, it'll be his energies and how the door does door stuff. That's why you call it a door, not the wall. Right? You know, so the wall will do one set of work, the door will be another. There's some common things because the door is connected to the wall, so there's some common points that you know, the wall, like, let's see, keeps elements out of the of the room. The idea of having a room is you can protect yourself from the outside environment. So in that way, the door and the wall have similar elements. But at the same time, as you can't walk through the wall, you know, not unless you're Casper or something, you know, the door allows you to do that. So there is a uniqueness between the door and the wall. Therefore, it's what's called a wall, what's called the door. But at the same time, the door can't keep out the elements as good as the wall. You know, unless it's one of those, you know, doors on those nuclear factories or something. You know, but still, even then, somebody blows the doors off and stuff like that. So, they don't, you know, very rarely they'll blow a hole in the wall. It's the door, right? You know. So, there is a difference. Same time as the walls do hold up the roof, the door doesn't. You know, you have to put some kind of construction above the door that the energy from the roof does not affect the door. It goes down into the walls. You know? So that's the thing, is there'll be similar and difference, but there's some common elements. But all those potencies of doorness and wallness, that all comes from Krishna. You know, so that's eternal. That's why it mentioned all these things are there before. When you have the Mahatattva, you have the Purusha, they're already there in the original Lord before it even starts. So that's why he's the original cause. But at the same time, as then in the manifestation, that the door hood or the wall hood, those are, in this case, temporary manifestations. And so they're made of inferior energy. So this door hood and wall hood is made out of inferior energy. So that's why then he's not this, and this is the temporary manifestation. So the door, the energy of the door is Krishna. You know, so the gross elements, the metaphysical elements, it's all Krishna, because otherwise Shakti has to come from Shaktiman, so it's non-different. But at the same time, it's different because of the uniqueness that is there, and it's not him and not the way, the temporary. So it depends which aspect you're looking at. If you're looking at the eternalness, then it's not him. If you're looking at the metaphysical, then that's coming from him. You know, like that. If you're looking at the energies, then that's not different from him. So you're going to get these, it's just that perspective. So which one you're looking at. So at some point, then if that's why they always emphasize the Sarup, because everything's coming from him. There's a particular form he manifests. That manifestation is according to his desire, and that will be manifest by his internal potency. So the Sarup means his nature. So that's the actual point. So whether he has two arms or four arms or eight arms or 16 or, like in the Shingadev, 1,000 arms. But the Sarup is the same. The form is according to the internal potency, because the Sarup is the source of that energy. That energy being manifest and manifests a particular form. But the point is he and the form are not different. So it means he always has that form. It's just which one we as an individual will see. Because if you see all of them at once, it doesn't work out so good.
Yeah.
You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point is that the Sarup, the Lord as a person, is the original. And then all the things of how he controls the energies, how he expands unlimitedly, all those are dependent features of himself on himself. Like your arms are not different from you, but your arms are dependent on you. Right? So they're always there. It's just a matter of they work according to your desires. So in other words, so the Lord is, everything's non-different. So he's in a unique category. You know, we can only take the example up to a particular point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. Is if we try to take it further, then we bring it into mundane. So that's why logic is used, but only up to a point. So we're starting with the Mayavadis. They're not even starting with logic. You know, if they're saying, oh, but you know, you have good and bad, so those are opposites. So this is bad. You know, it has this form. So good means a different form. But generally, when we say it's a bad hotel, and it's a good hotel, they both have rooms, they both have bathrooms, they both have generally windows and curtains and, you know, a bed in it. You know, and the more bad it gets, the less of those things might be there. You know, you might have, you know, a place with no windows. I remember staying, I think it was one place, it may have been in Malaysia. You know, sometimes you have a long layover, so you stay in a room at the place. And they have the ones that look out onto the tarmac, but they also have the ones in the middle. They have no windows.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, who cares? You're going in there, you're going to sleep, you know, take a bath. You know, you're not going to worry about that. But you know, you would consider that worse. So I think the ones with windows cost more than the ones without windows. You know, it's like that. But the thing is the good and bad, there's some common elements. But here, the commonality means simply opposites. Right? So that's why we say it's negative. It's not like you're doing higher grade and lower grade. It's just it has to be opposite. So it's only negative. You're not looking at the positive. Improving the, it means the quality that's there, improving it. You know, so that's why the Maya bodies, their beginning stance, though they say they're using logic, they're not. Because logic means what you see is what works. You know, you can intellectually go through the process and see what's different and what's the same. But they're saying it's different, there's nothing the same. But the point is if I want to compare something, I have to compare like the phone and the stand. They're the different, but they're the same. Right? Because they're both part of this process that you can mount the phone and, you know, get the video done. You know, but if I take the phone and the rug, it's not going to work. Or the stand and the rug, it won't work. So their logic is not actually logical. They're not starting with logic. They're starting with just a feeling, a desire that they want something else. And so because they're pessimistic, therefore then the so-called logic they follow is pessimistic. It's just the opposite. But the point being made is that no, if you say that here is energy, and you know they have to accept this energy. It may be illusion, but it's still an energy. And so then, and if they say it's no energy, then what is it? And if it doesn't exist at all, why are you even worried about it? If you don't exist, none does it. Why is there a process? Why are you talking? Why is there a philosophy? You know? If it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. What's the problem? You know, it's just like saying, no, there's a tiger going to eat me. No, that was in your dream. It doesn't exist. So therefore, once you accept that, there's no problem. You know? But the point is energy means there's an energetic. And so why would there be this energy that has to come from somewhere? So where does this illusion come from? That they can't say. So illusion is the transformation of his internal potency. There, that's where you get the duality. You know? Because there's originally, it's because there's energy and energetic. That's why you have these seeming, you know, opposites, but are the same. And then you get the negative aspect when it goes into the internal and the external, you know, the eternal and the temporary. And then we try to make eternal out of temporary. You know, we're going to do this that there'll be money forever and everything like that. And even if it is forever, you're going to die. It's not going to be there. You know those what do you call it? Those gold doubloons are still there. You know, those pirates are gone, but the blooms are still, you know, so what does it matter? You know, yes?
I think another basic principle of Satkaryavad is that the positive always exists. But negative exists only in connection to the positive. It doesn't exist on its own.
Yes, that's a very good point.
So if we explain this basic principle, then everything makes much more sense.
Yes, no, that's very good. Because you only have darkness where there's no light. It's not that darkness is on its own, unless it's an elf and it's, you know, yeah.
So... Yeah, that's the, you know, the third candle that Satkaryavad, that what it explained, that the world is there, but material cosmos is only in connection to him, but he doesn't need it. he can be on his own and happy. But we can't. We are dependent on him.
Yes. No, that does very well. There's energy and energetic, and then the point of the Satkaryavad, that all the positive qualities are there, otherwise how can they be in the energy? And then in the energy you'll see that there'll be the positive and there'll be the negative. Okay. Yeah, in their context of him, then it's still positive, but if it's not in context with him, both of them are negative. Yeah. Okay. Anucheda 4. After explaining the place, action, and sarup, the form is described. But did we already read this?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're down at the devotees see that the form? No, it's the same format as the previous page. You had a little introduction, you had the shloka, and then Prabhas Udriti. I don't think we have. No, we just came to this. Anucheda 4. With spiritual eyes, the devotees see this amazing form of thousands of legs and arms, thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses, shining with thousands of crowns, earrings, and clothes. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.4. Udriti, Srimad Prabhupada. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service. And then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. Okay. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service, because the pure devotional service brings one to the pure. The senses are purified, so you actually see with pure spiritual vision. Then, yeah. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the sight of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. Okay, so only devotional service can bring you near, and only devotional service can reveal. In the Brahma Samhita, it is also said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with a tinge of devotional service. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes, smeared with devotional service. Yeah, who have those eyes. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and His different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servitor, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.4. Right, so the neophytes in spiritual life. So some they don't accept the form, or the form is there, but they don't, guide Maya bodies, they don't accept. Brahma bodies will accept, but there's no difference, it's all Brahman. But then those with faith, then now that becomes important, though they may not see very deeply. You know, like you were saying, so many religionists and all that, then they get into that, they can't see any of that. They can't appreciate that. Though they accept God's a person, He's the Supreme and everything. So they have that understanding. That so-called devote, because if you ask them about these devotional positions just as non-denominational philosophy, they'll all agree. You know, but as soon as you start getting to detail, then that's where everything, you know, separates, and then it all falls apart at that point. So the neophytes will have problem with the form, or they'll only see, you know, you'll only see in the temple. But the point is that Krishna is eternal. He's always there. Right? You can see Him. He sits in the heart. He sits in all these things in the hearts of all living entities. And so that's why then Kapila Muni then makes the point, if you're worshipping the deity, you know, those, what is it? I think he says with the reddish lotus eyes like the rising sun, you know, like that. Then you actually become properly situated in deity worship when you see all living entities, that same Lord is within all of their hearts. And so you see all living entities connected to the Lord. Then you'll deal properly with all of them. Then you can say that your deity worship is now. That's proper. But if you only see the deity and everybody else you see is separate, then that's what is mentioned, the separatist aspect in the someone working within passion and ignorance within the deity worship. They'll have a tendency to not see things always in connection with the Lord. And so to that degree they do, then it needs more development. And that degree that they're seeing all in connection with the Lord, then that means that they're becoming more expert. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada.